कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन बाल बागिरीवन दारी जय गोपीजन बाल बागिरीवन दारी जय जसोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जसोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन बाल बागिरिवन दारी जय जय गोपीजन बाल बागिरिवन दारी जय जसोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जसोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जसोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपीजन बाल बागिरिवन दारी जय जय गोपीजन बाल बागिरिवन दारी जय जसोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जसोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajakacharya Asutara Sutta Sisi Madhis Divine Grace Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ma Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesa Sanyavari Paschacha De Satani Hare Krishna. Ah, Yudhisthira, how are you this morning? Okay, very good. Hare Krishna. So, welcome back everyone. As you know, today will be the third day, a continuation of our topics about Srila Prabhupada. Of course, most of these involve, hopefully, New Vrindavan and Vrindavan. I was thinking, I asked one of the Matajis, anything special? She said about New Vrindavan. I had such a unique situation. I became Prabhupada's servant twice in New Vrindavan, Jamastami Festival, 1972 and 1974. And each time, I found out literally 12 hours before Prabhupada left New Vrindavan. Each time I was not his servant in New Vrindavan. The second time, in 1974, I had been his servant. But when he came there, Satsarup Maharaj had been his servant. But he also wanted to go traveling. To be with Srila Prabhupada was, as we can imagine, and as we've experienced by the turnover that was with him, it was not an easy thing. When he came back to New Vrindavan in 1974, Kirtananda Maharaj, you know, we perfected our sandesh, burfi. Radhanath Maharaj, he was also making milk sweets. Put them in the car just waiting to see if Prabhupada took one of the sweets. But this time when he had come to New Vrindavan, we hadn't perfected rasgulla. Of course, it was a very important sweet, rasgulla. So Prabhupada said, I will show you. Whenever Prabhupada was prepared to show you anything, whether you saw him playing the mridanga, going into the kitchen. I always marvel, there's one photo of Srila Prabhupada in the kitchen. I think it's in New Orleans or the farm that was outside of New Orleans. You see a box of salt, Haynes salt. And Prabhupada's pouring salt into this preparation on the stove, and you can see the salt going in. And he was just so... Everything was so easy. Of course, no measurement. But I'm looking at all that salt and I'm thinking, that looks like a lot of salt. Of course, it was always perfect. So he's told us how to prepare the curds. Just like Sandesh, preparing the curd, getting it ready. He said, when you have prepared the curd, he said, then I'll come into the kitchen and show you. So we're all excited. I was there, Brahmananda, was Maharaj, Prabhupada's secretary at the time, was there. Of course, Kirtanananda, he was there. So we all go into this just little kitchen in a farmhouse. and like wood-burning stove. There was no electricity for the kitchen. There wasn't even running water in the kitchen. Anyway, he came in, and the little balls, they're like happy. They look like happy little bhaktas, you know, in the sugar water bouncing. And Prabhupada had the ladle, and he just kind of bobbing, and we're all watching, you know, and looking, and what's he doing? And so simple, you know, when they flop over, you make sure they turn over. Prabhupada, he looks at Brahmananda. He says, "You've already half eaten them." Brahmananda turned red. And then Prabhupada's going, and then he said, "So you just do like this, another 5 minutes," and he hands the ladle to Kirtanananda. And Prabhupada leaves the room. Kirtanananda gets the ladle, he goes onto the walk, and these rasgullas that had expand, you know, they get like 2-3 times their size. After Prabhupada left, they all shrunk back to their original size. So they hard, you know, but they, and Kirtananda's going, and they just, like they just died. Like they died in the walk. Anyway, they never recovered. CPR, nothing worked. And it didn't matter. We all ate them with great gusto, you know, anything sweet. When I started out in New Vrindavan, it was my best friend and I, we joined together. He was my first, you know, he brought me to the devotees that day, on Earth Day, made me go and talk to them. So we were together in New Vrindavan. And I was, well, we both had our service. At that time, Spiritual Sky Incense was very big. So there was a West Coast distributor, East Coast distributor. New Vrindavan was like the factory. And they would do it in the Vrindavan farm where Maharaj was staying. And all day they would... Our incense was not like you see incense here. In those days in the USA, they had, we called them punks. They looked like incense sticks. And you would burn them. They were basically for the mosquitoes. And it wasn't made with a nice, like here they make this very nice, I don't know what they use on the sticks, but this was a very base. And of course, there were a few very popular scents. The most popular incense and oils was strawberry fields. And then there was patchouli. And the brahmacharis, when you saw them at Aratik, their hands were the color of the oils that were used to dip the incense in. They would dip hundreds of sticks at a time in these buckets with this, you know, very chemical-based, so that dyes would get on your hands. So they always looked like strawberry fields, most of the brahmacharis. And we would fill the oils, we would fill the incense. Myself and Yadavananda, you know, when you're, especially when you're new devotee, we're very attached to prasadam. And we would, on the, every pujari room or next to the pujari room has a cabinet where you put the maha, right? So the cabinet had a very good lock on it, but the hinges were exposed on the outside. So the screws were right there. So after Mangal Artik in the morning, while people were chanting rounds, him and I, we would go, and with like a spoon, we would take off 6 screws, and we raided the Mahaprasadam, all the milk sweets, and we would eat it. Anyway, one day before CCTV was there, you had very lusty people that were upset that they weren't getting any Mahaprasadam, and we were eating it. So they did some detective work, and they saw us one morning. Of course, immediately they went to Kirtanananda Maharaj and complained. You know, Shruti Kirti Yadavananda, they're stealing all the sweets. Maharaj said, "As long as they're there for Mangal Aratik," he said, "I don't care what they're doing." So we got an endorsement. Of course, they repaired the door so we couldn't get in anymore. One of my services in New Vrindavan at that time, as a new devotee in Bahulaban, We had nice lunches. This was before the famous oat water days. Some of you may have heard of the oat water days. They didn't even get oats. They got oat water. So it was very, very austere. But I wasn't around for those days. And at prasadam, we would have dal, rice, nice chapatis for lunch. And I would sit there and eat. There was enough. But after everyone would get up, and they weren't trained very nicely, they would leave their place. So I would eat everyone's remnants because I was very hungry. I figured that was one of the reasons I became Prabhupada's servant. I was eating the remnants of all the devotees in the temple. You know, enjoy. We knew back then prasadam, you couldn't contaminate prasadam. Of course, if you leave the dal out for 5 or 6 hours in the summer, don't eat it, you know. But so that's one of the things that I would be doing. Anyway, then when I became Prabhupada's servant, it was 1972, John Mastami. And I said I didn't know anything. We were on an airplane one day, Prabhupada sitting by the window, as he always did. My service was sitting next to him. And I would have my hand in my bead bag. Sometimes for 10, 12 hours, Prabhupada's sitting next to you. One time we were sitting on the airplane. And at that time they had the big screens, you know, in the front of the plane. You didn't have those individual movie screens and sound. And of course, you had to buy headphones or something, which of course we never did. But we're sitting there in the plane, and Prabhupada, you know, he would see, and I would see what's going on. And you can't not see. When something's in front of you on a screen, you just see it. It's just there. And it was a Western movie about the Wild West with guns, you know, and the hats, the black hats and white hats. So we're both sitting on the plane, and there was this guy in the movie. And he was all dressed in black, had a black hat, but he had this book in his hand. And you see the movie going on, and Prabhupada poked me. He said, "What is that book?" And I'm like, I said, "I think it's a Bible, Srila Prabhupada." "Okay," he said. But that was it, you know. I told you another time we're on the plane, Air India. They even had that little man. He had the turban on in those days in Air India. It was very, you know, they had a picture, I think, Krishna Rasa dancers. It was very wonderful in those days that Krishna was there. Even I went to visit my mother. She was mortified I became a Hare Krishna. She was a good Catholic woman, you know. But she was accepted it later. But I visited her once, and she had a big Air India poster. Had that man, that funny man with the turban, but I had Krishna there. So it was very nice. Anyway, we're on the plane, and music's coming out of this Air India flight, tabla, sitar. Mayapur, we had the shanai. So beautiful. Every morning, the morning walk, you'd hear that shanai at the front gate. But I'm sitting next to Prabhupada, and the music's playing. Plane's still on the ground, and Prabhupada looks at me. He said, "Do you like this music?" "It's very nice." "Yes, Prabhupada, it's very nice." I was always afraid of letting him know I was in so much Maya, as if he didn't know who I was. "Yes, it's very nice." Again, I told that story next to a god brother, it was Hari Kesh. He said, "Yeah, the same thing happened with me." Prabhupada said, "Do you like this music?" I said, "Yes, Prabhupada." He said, "It's sense gratification music." Whatever you said, he would correct you. He'd give you little humility, a little bit. So we get the Vrindavan Radha Damodar temple. You see Prabhupada's rooms right here, a few minutes away. You can go right into Prabhupada's rooms here, right? And when you go through those doors, the walls are this thick. I've never, you know, in USA we have 2x4 pieces of wood, piece of plywood, your wall's this thick, that's it. So you go in and out, doorways. But he would ring the bell, and I'd be sitting on the veranda just right next to him. But I'm fast. You ring the bell, boom, right in the room. So I went in the room, but I forgot that the wall was 2 feet thick. So I lifted my head up way too soon and I slammed my head in the concrete wall as I was coming in. And as soon as I did it, I saw Prabhupada's face and he went, ooh. He says, that's to make you humble. Learn how to bend down. And then he made me really humble in Vrindavan. If you go to Vrindavan, when you go to Vrindavan, you have to become purified all the time. You have to renew that purification. Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, everything you do 100 times. He said if you give 1%, it becomes 100%. But of course, if you create offenses, that also becomes 100%. So it seems like in Vrindavan, you're always being tested and being directed by the Lord there. So we're there for a few days. And this is my first big festival. On the airplane, I was saying one day, Prabhupada's on the plane, and we're heading now from Dallas to Los Angeles to Hawaii to Bangkok, Thailand, on the way for Kartik. This is going to be the first time Prabhupada is in Vrindavan for the entire month of Kartik since he left. And he had planned it, Kartik Festival. And he said to me, he said, we're going to Vrindavan and we'll be there for the month of Kartik. I didn't know what Kartik was at the time, you know, all these things. Yes, Prabhupada. He said, and I'm going to read from Nectar of Devotion. So he had a plan. He wasn't just going there. No, he already knew exactly what he wanted to do. He said, I'll read from Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, his book. And he started where? The very beginning, the introduction. And he said, so you will read. He said, and I'll stop you and give comments. Yes, Prabhupada, this, I'm very good. So he was so excited. We got there, there was a huge festival. 40, 50 devotees were there. This was big. All, of course, Westerners. All his American, Europeans. And he's showing everyone in Vrindavan. This was his, he's showing everyone, his Western disciples, that he has complete faith in. Telling everyone, pure Vaishnavas, they've come, some college-educated people with money. He wanted to show everyone all over India. We know we were the dancing white elephants. And he pushed us out there to let everyone see, this is what they're doing now. You're all working so hard. I was thinking how I said yesterday. Prabhupada said 90%. So I was thinking basically you all lost like 1% every year over the last. So you were down to like 40, 50%, which is a good place because now you're suffering. You're becoming devotees. This was Prabhupada's plan. Back then, the plan was different. One of his godbrothers, he said to Prabhupada, I want to learn Hindi. Prabhupada said, why you want to learn Hindi? Prabhupada's thing was, don't learn anything except Krishna and give that. Whatever you have, that's good enough. You don't need to increase your material propensities, your material qualifications. Just whatever Krishna has given you, you add Krishna, that's all. So he said, why you want to learn Hindi? Devotee said, well, Prabhupada, he said, if I learn Hindi, then I can preach to the Indians. He said, I've been preaching to them my whole life. I haven't made one devotee. He said, what are you going to do? But it was a fact. You know, he would say, I would go to a family, 5 boys in the family. He said, give me one son. I'll make him a brahmachari. I'll take him to the West. Couldn't do it. Not one boy out of 5 could they give. That's what it was like at those times. Huh? Anyway, every afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or so, in a beautiful, it was a beautiful area there by the Samadhi, Bhajan Kutir, Srila Rupa Goswami, open air. And they arranged the Raj Raj very nicely for Prabhupada to speak every afternoon. And of course, for me, this is all completely new experience. I'm not only outside of USA for the first time. I'm in India, in Vrindavan. And they have rented sound system, which works. So Prabhupada would speak and the parrots are flying back because it's that time, the sun's starting to go down. So everyone's retreating back to their home. You see it now. You know, the cows are walking back to wherever they spend their nights. It's just so beautiful. The parrots are there. The monkeys. So many monkeys. When Maharaj left the other day at Juhu, we managed to meet just in passing. He said, so you go, GEV, he said, and he smiled. He said, any suggestions you have, you can tell me how to improve. How can you improve on anything that he's given? Huh? Every detail. I'm going to tell him, one thing you've left out here, monkeys. We'll be very happy. I'll send them free. How many? 100, 200, 500? We'll send them all here. So then you can have the actual Vrindavan experience that we have. And you'll have to put cages everywhere. We don't cage the monkeys. We're in cages now in Vrindavan. You know, the monkeys are roaming free. We're all in cages. Anyway, Prabhupada speaking, and I have my Ur tape recorder, this metal tape recorder. It's not far from here. It's in Mumbai. It's still there at the Mahadevya residence. They have that. They bought it from Srila Prabhupada. I visited them some years ago when I was here. I hadn't seen them, the Mahadevyas. When we first came here in 1972, it was December, when Prabhupada did his second Cross Maidan festival, we stayed at Kartikeya Mahadevya's house, right by the sea, in a condominium, top floor. Tiny little elevator you could fit two people in. And I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, we'll go back to Vrindavan. So every evening, afternoon, Prabhupada's speaking, and I'm very happy now. Now I'm starting to feel, I'm Prabhupada's servant, you know? Every brahmachari wanted to be Prabhupada's servant. They would see you. Sometimes they would see you with very dagger-like eyes. Why are you doing this service, you know? I could do it better than you. But I'm Prabhupada's servant. So he's speaking in the evening. I have the Ur tape recorder set up because I have to record these lectures. And there were not a lot of reels of tape. You couldn't get them here in India. We had to get them before coming in USA or Europe. And then I realized I couldn't even use them at high speed. I had to slow it down because otherwise you wouldn't have all of these classes from Radha Damodar Temple, the Nectar of Devotion series. So I'm sitting there on the ground, and I set everything up, and Prabhupada's speaking, and I grab the chamara fan, phantom, you know. And Prabhupada's speaking, and the parrots, pretty parrots, and the monkeys, but there were flies. And Prabhupada's speaking, Nectar of Devotion, in English, to all his disciples. And I'm doing an aratik in front of Prabhupada, fanning him as if I was a pujari, which of course I was. But I was doing this ceremony, you know, and there's flies are there. But I'm just doing it like, I'm not doing anything with the flies. I'm just very proud of myself being able to do this service here at Radha Damodar Temple, Vrindavan. So many devotees are there, and I'm there with the fan. And flies buzzing around his head, and I can even see it. But I don't know what I'm doing. My intelligence completely gone with this false ego. So finally, Prabhupada, right in the middle of a sentence, get someone up here with some intelligence. in front of all my God brothers and God sisters. I mean, boom. And I'm like the Statue of Liberty, you know? And this big, tall brahmachari, just the size of you, Yudhisthira, comes up. He grabs the fan from me. And this brahmachari, everyone knew this brahmachari was a little eccentric, we say, right? Eccentric. Curious person. He takes the fan out of my hands, and he gets it. And I crawl back to the spot on the dust, Vrindavan dust, and I start playing with the dials, you know, making believe I was trying to do something so I could still have some value. I'm important. I'm important. And this devotee gets the fan and he's going, I've never seen anyone do, he's going like this, and of course the flies, whoom, no more flies. And Prabhupada never stopped speaking. Nectar never stopped. And he didn't stop now, but as he's speaking, he looks at him and goes, and then I, one 10,000th part, the tip of a hair. That was it. Prabhupada completely just gave me little humility. See, he said I didn't have any, get someone here with some intelligence. No intelligence. I spent the rest of the lecture very quietly, just my head down. And then Prabhupada completed. And I would walk, we would walk back to his room. So I was a servant, I would walk next to him. Everyone was following around behind. But this time I was behind him. I couldn't even walk next to him. And one of my godbrothers came up to me, Sruta Kirti, you're so fortunate. The Prabhupada chastised you like that. And I'm going, yeah. But I was. And you remember, I could forget years and years of behavior with him. But when he chastised you, I could tell you everyone when he chastised me. They're the fondest memories. And it was always, give you some humility. Always for your improvement. He says it's there. It's in his books, huh? Spiritual, he chastises his disciple for his betterment. He said, don't take offense. You should become very happy you become chastised by your spiritual master. That's his blessings to help you. So that was my one event in Vrindavan. It was wonderful, though. It was the first time I was just sitting all day and I was chanting. Kartik, I actually chanted 64 rounds a day that time during Kartik while Prabhupada was there. So then there's this another one, Paramahamsa. You knew Paramahamsa. He became Prabhupada's secretary eventually. But he's there. He's a brahmachari. He's like 19 years old, him and his friend. And no one during the day, Prabhupada's staying at Radha Damodar Temple, you didn't see any of the devotees. Because all they did was try to keep themselves clean, keep their clothes clean, keep from getting dysentery and other various diseases. So during the day, everyone was busy. But of course me, I didn't have to wash Prabhupada's clothes. And I had my own little spot on the concrete floor there behind Prabhupada's room. So I'd be there all day. So in the morning, I'm sitting on the veranda between those two rooms of Prabhupada. And I see this very white fellow, shaved head. And he's walking around in the courtyard of Radha Damodar Temple by himself. And Prabhupada rings the bell. Prabhupada, again, sees everything. And he's curious. He said, who is this? Who's this boy? He said, call him. So he comes in. We offer obeisances together. And of course, this boy, he's in ecstasy now. He's in Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada asks him his name, and he says, you're here, you know, why are you here? He said, and who are you with? Because everyone had an authority. There are no independent. Nowadays, people come and go out of temples, try to sell a few books, get money for their next ticket to the next place. Restless. Restlessness, Prabhupada would say. Prabhupada said, you become pujari. You never leave the deities. You never leave them. You spend your entire life, I'm saying, just like the twins in Mayapur. Once you become pujari, you dedicate your life to those deities. You go back home, back to Godhead, no question. So Prabhupada liked to see that steadiness with his disciples. So he said, what are you doing? And they said, oh, me and my godbrother, we were in South India. We're preaching there. And he said, what are your plans? So he's questioning him. He could see. He's just like a loose. These people are going on their own. So what are your plans? He said, well, after Kartik, Prabhupada, after you leave, we're planning on going to Vietnam to preach. Prabhupada's eyes got very big. Now we would say Vietnam is like saying I'm going to go to Ukraine to preach. Vietnam was a war zone. U.S. was fire bombs, chemical bombs, all kinds of warfare going on for who knows what reason. But it was not a place to go. So Prabhupada's eyes got so big, he said, Acha, Vietnam? Prabhupada was excited. You're going to the place where there's war and you're going to preach. And he looked at him. He said, perhaps you should take sannyas. So then the boy's eyes got very big. Every brahmachari, then you knew, you know, 1-2 years you could be a sannyasi in ISKCON. And then you get all the maha prasadam. So, he's, yes, Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada looked, he said, well, he said, you go before the samadhi. All the samadhis are there. He said, you go pray before Srila Rupa Goswami. He said, you sit there, you chant. He said, and you see what Srila Rupa Goswami says. So each day he would come in, he would chant. And then the next day he said, you go to Krishnadas Kaviraj's samadhi, you chant. So this happened like 3 days. Then he came in, he said, so? Yes, Prabhupada. Take sannyas. It was the most wonderful thing. Prabhupada said, okay. He said, so you tell my secretary, Shamasundar. He says he has to take you to the Lohi Bazaar. Get fresh cloth. You get your 3 bamboo for your danda. You tell him. He said, and you'll be taking sannyas. There was going to be big initiation ceremony. Rasiyatra. And the night they put the sweet rice out, a big initiation ceremony. So he said, you tell Shamasundar. So he's thrilled. No one knows who this person is, really. He's, you know, he came from Portland, Oregon, this little town. He'd never even been on a date, this boy. He was young. He joined maybe 17. So he tells Shamasundar. Shamasundar looks at him. You're not getting sannyas. He said, you're not on the list. On the list was Guru Kripa, Yasoda Nandan, I think maybe Satsarup at that time. There were like 4 people getting sannyas. He said, you're not on the list. And he's going, Prabhupada said. Everyone has, Prabhupada said. So then he goes, Shamasundar, of course, goes to Prabhupada. These 2 boys, they were like kids. We're all kids, but they were even younger children. And Prabhupada said, yes, they're going to Vietnam to preach. You know, Prabhupada gave sannyas. He gave potency with that sannyas. Like he said, like in the war, if there are no admirals, every 4th man you make an admiral, you empower him. Prabhupada empowered his disciples. And when he gave sannyas to someone, qualified or not, they got special powers. So then it was okay. But then as it is, the gossip started traveling. These other people getting sannyas, Guru Kripa, Yasoda Nandan Swami, they were upset. They said, they don't even know any shlokas, Guru Kripa said. They also were in South India. They were learning all the Sanskrit shlokas, learning how to chant and the different melodies. They were ready. But who are these people to get sannyas? So there was a little bit of intimidation and friction. anyway, that evening came. Some devotees got first initiation, Brahman initiation. These devotees got sannyas. Full moon night is there. Prabhupada's doing this jagya. He wanted to show everyone in Vrindavan, these people are Vaishnavas. They're qualified Vaishnavas. They've given up everything to serve Krishna. He was very proud of this. In front of us, he would call us maleches, rascals, nonsense, maleches. But with everyone else, he would let them know, these are wonderful Vaishnava boys, boys and girls. So the next day, Prabhupada said, in the early days, like when Jamuna, 67, he would say, did you see Narada Muni came to the kirtan? We didn't see Narada Muni. Prabhupada would see. He said, they came. He said, Rupa Goswami came and attended. Narada Muni would come and attend to see these Westerners becoming Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. It was such an amazing, wonderful event. And Rupa Goswami attended. This is what Prabhupada has created. Don't think it's just some little, no, it's all known all over the three worlds. Everyone knows what Prabhupada was doing, creating this ISKCON society, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the globe in 10 years. Just impossible. Paramahamsa and Parabhajakacharya, they couldn't go to Vietnam. You couldn't get a visa to go to Vietnam during the war. Just like now, you can't get a visa to go, you know, visit the Ukraine. Maybe you can, but you don't want to. So they wound up going to Iran. Parabhajakacharya, he became famous. Back in those days, there were those VHS tapes. He became a famous yoga instructor. Everyone was buying his tapes all over the world. And he became the instructor of the daughter of the king. At that time, it was the king of Iran. And he was giving her yoga instruction. And Prabhupada went to Tehran a few times. I was with him twice in Tehran. So Prabhupada invested a lot of energy there. But then there was a big coup. Everything changed. I didn't see Paramahamsa. I believe he was the youngest person ever to take sannyas in ISKCON. And he was a very pure person, very wonderful. Him and I, we became very close later on. And he didn't know a lot of slokas at that time. But Prabhupada gave him, and he was wonderful, both wonderful preachers. Anyway, 2 years go by. And Prabhupada needed a secretary. And who just happened to be there in the city was Paramahamsa. He became Prabhupada's secretary. So now he was so, like all of us were, to be with Prabhupada, you know, to be with Prabhupada 24 hours a day. Amazing gift. You can't buy all the money. You can't buy such a situation. So Prabhupada ring the bell, Sutta Kirti would go in the room, call Paramahamsa. So I go get Paramahamsa. Again, Paramahamsa's tall, big, round, moon-like face. He's just like the moon. He'd come in, plop himself down on the full dandabats. He'd do like a stick, boom. And then he'd start chanting other prayers. So he had learned his slokas now. He was criticized, but now he knew many slokas. So he wouldn't just offer his obeisances with pranam mantras. Then he'd start chanting other things. Oma Gyanata Mananda, whatever it may be. So he did this once. So the next time Prabhupada called Paramahamsa, he'd come in, same thing. Boom, plop himself on the ground. The third time, everything is in threes. He comes in, he plops himself down on the ground. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pastaya, and he starts, Prabhupada said, get up. He said, how are we going to get any work done? You're lying on the ground all the time. Yes, Prabhupada. That was the last time he did those dandavats. I never did dandavats in front of you didn't have time. He was waiting for you. You have to have a sense of what you're doing, some common sense. He's waiting. Prabhupada, when he wanted to yell at me, he wouldn't wait until I sat up. I'm offering obeisances. He's already yelling at me. Where were you? I'm ringing this bell for hours. You were 2 minutes late. So it was like Lord Brahma time, you know. For him, it was like days and days. He's ringing the bell, and I'm not coming. He's I'm ringing the bell for hours. Where are you? So that was our Paramahamsa. Him and I, we became very close. And then we're in Juhu. Oh, Juhu is what? Just one block away from the ocean. You know, I was raised 1 hour away from the ocean. In the summertime, that's what you did. You went to the ocean. We called you go down the shore. And then you were at the beach. Of course, Juhu Beach, the land was very nice, the sand. Prabhupada's favorite place to walk, flat and nice, firm. Every morning he'd walk, and we'd be with him. So Prabhupada's favorite place to walk, and Prabhupada walked fast. It wasn't a casual walk. He's walking fast. Some devotees, my godbrothers, they wouldn't go on the morning walk. Imagine, because it was too difficult for them. Others of us, we'd go, and Prabhupada had like three different turning points where he would turn around from the walk and start back. So you'd be walking with him, and he'd pass the first one, and you're, oh, okay. If he passed the second one, oh, man. They get to the third one. So we would become exhausted on the morning walk. Hari Kesh would take a nap after the morning walk. We're like 22 years old. And Prabhupada go back, give class, greet the deities, Guru Puja, take breakfast, no naps. And we're like, oh, Prabhupada. So the beach was there. So in India, generally I didn't cook for Prabhupada. He had malati, palika, Jamuna, Daivashakti, Madri, so many different female disciples he had who were trained. They could cook. Prabhupada showed different ones, different preparations. So it was an amazing time for me. Again, see, that was my most anxiety-filled period, having to cook and massage at the same time. Now I just have my massage. So then the three of us, it's me, Paramahamsa, and Nitai. You know, we're all from the USA. We all like the ocean. So as soon as I finished, as soon as I finished massaging Prabhupada, I said, let's go to the beach. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not nice. The sun's beaming. No one's there except us white elephants. You know, we go to the beach because we're determined to get some enjoyment. We bring our gumshes. We lie there for 5 minutes, almost die. We work our way into the water, which was kind of brownish looking. But still, it was the ocean, and we could go in it. And when you were with Prabhupada, any bit of sense gratification you could get, being with a person who never was engaged in sense gratification, you would go for it, you know. So each day we're going. Prabhupada, after massage, he'd bathe. I set up his desk so we could put his tilak on, chant Gayatri. Palika would bring his lunch, clear his lunch, and Prabhupada took a nap. So that gave me an hour of free time. So we're going every day to the beach. After a few days, Nitai said, I don't have time for this. I have Prabhupada's letters. I have to type letters and dictation. So he dropped out. And we go another 2 days, and Paramahamsa says, I can't go. I'm the one pushing this, you know. He said, I can't go. He said, I have things I have to do, you know. I have too much service. All right. So I was going by myself the next 2 days to the beach. So one afternoon, I get back. Paramahamsa said, and this was one of our favorite things amongst each other. Prabhupada wants to see you, and he's really mad. And we would say it with a smile. because you're getting chastised, not me. That was like a wonderful thing, because he was always, that's, you're getting chastised. He's really mad. And I'm thinking, oh, I had been with Prabhupada now 2 years. So I knew the, you say you know the drill, what's going to happen before it even happens. So I go in the room. So it's after Prabhupada's nap, and he's sitting very sweetly. I told you yesterday when he came out of his bedroom, Prabhupada had this childlike nature. Not childish, childlike. There was an innocence that he could flick on in a moment where all of a sudden he was just like this little boy, this little cowherd boy, his transcendental character. So he was like that. So sometimes you would come in, it was just this innocence that was there. But now I'm going to get, Prabhupada's going to chastise me. And usually it's with a loud voice. So I come in again next to the Vyasa-san. See, that's informal. In front of it, that's formal. But to come in next to him, just to give a little obeisances and look at him. So I'm offering obeisances, and I don't hear anything. He's not yelling at me. So I sit up, and I don't know what to do, because he said, where's Srutakirti? I want to see him. So I'm waiting, a few seconds go by, and he's just looking at me like curiously. So I have to figure out what to say, because you can't let out a lot of information. See, I'm very clever. You wanted to see me, Prabhupada? I'm fishing. He goes, no. I said, you didn't ask to see me? No. So now I have to go deeper. And he's playing with me. You know, this is not, he's just bewildered. He said he wanted to see me because I'm going to the beach by myself. So now I had to go to the next step. Paramahamsa. So now Paramahamsa said, you wanted to see me. Prabhupada still be. So now I have to spill the beans. And this is what Prabhupada would do. He would make you tell the truth. Very scary thing to do. Tell him the truth. So I said, Paramahamsa said you were upset. So now I just say, Paramahamsa said you're upset that I'm going to the beach by myself to go swimming. He said, oh, you're going swimming? I said, yes, Prabhupada. I said, but we were all going together, so now I'm trying to make it all sound good. We're all going together, but then they said they couldn't go, so now I'm going by myself. He said, oh. He said, swimming's a Vaishnava activity. So then he smiled, you know, smile. I said, so it's okay? He said, yes, yes. He said, Vaishnava activity, go swimming. He said, very good exercise. He said, thank you, Prabhupada. I never went to the beach again. But he didn't yell at me that. See, and that's a very Indian thing to do. You know, the father doesn't yell at the son. He gets his brother, uncle. Uncle yells. You know, there's the uncle, demoniac uncle, does all the chastisement and all. So Prabhupada used. That happened a few times. Prabhupada knew my character so well. He knew I was very very sensitive. As I said, my mother never raised her voice. I had no father. My mother never raised her voice. When she got angry, she got quiet, which was worse than getting yelled at, you know. Prabhupada learned that with me. Initially, he would yell. Later on, he'd just look at me. And that look, that was louder than any voice he could give me. He'd just give a look. Oof. And I knew I did something very, very wrong. So then, now I'm traveling with Paramahamsa Swami. Again, him and I, we became lifelong friends. He's somewhere near Mount Shasta in California. It's a very secluded place. So now we're traveling with Prabhupada. It's after that, in 1975. Prabhupada traveled around the world in 2 months. He started out in Juhu, and then he went to Japan, Hawaii, Los Angeles, Miami, Atlanta. This was the very famous time. Everywhere Prabhupada was going, he was going into ecstasy on the Vyasasan during the kirtans or during classes. He would just stop. He was in so much ecstasy as he traveled. This was 10 years after his arrival in America. Everywhere he went, he saw hundreds of devotees chanting. And he would just go into ecstasy. And he would talk about Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. It's when he introduced us to Paramakaruna. In Atlanta, he gave his shortest lecture ever. 1 minute lecture, maybe 2 minutes. You can hear the audio. You should get that audio. Listen to Prabhupada. He's looking at Gurnatai, as he did in Mexico City. He went into ecstasy. Going into ecstasy means he would just sit there and everyone would just stop. You practically would stop breathing because you didn't want to make a sound to spoil, huh? That ecstasy, Prabhupada. If he did it for hours, you'd be very happy because ecstasy would overflow and you would also become ecstatic, joyful, just seeing him. So he'd just sit there and wait. And then he'd open his eyes, chant Hare Krishna. Everywhere he was focusing on Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. In Caracas, he said, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they've traveled very far to be here with you. He traveled very far. He brought them there. And then he went to Miami. He went into ecstasy. Then he went to Atlanta, and he's looking. I've been in Atlanta. I've been there with Jayapataka Maharaj a few times. Recently, I was there with Bhakti Churu Maharaj, every Panihati festival. We were there for Jamastami festival together. He would talk about Prabhupada. I would talk about Prabhupada. Together, we would be in his room. We would talk about Prabhupada, Bhakti Churu Maharaj. He went there and he's looking at the deities. And you'll see the lecture. It goes, Parama Karuna, Pahudvijana. He said, the two lords, very merciful. He said, distributing love of Godhead to everyone, he said. He said, Krishna, he's also kind. He said, but he requires surrender. He said, but Lord Chaitanya, and his voice is cracking already. He can't talk, but he's talking. He said, but Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. And then it just stopped. And the room's packed. It's a small temple room. Hundreds of devotees hanging in the windows in the doorway, all crunched together. And we all just sat there again. You don't even move your beads. You can hear every sound. Then he opened his eyes. Chant Hare Krishna. It was cold in Atlanta. It was March 1st. The weather can just go back and forth. Very cold. It may have been Celsius, like, what would we say, like 10 degrees or something, 8 degrees in the morning for morning walk. So we had just come from India, from Juhu, our last stop in India. So now it's not even a month later. It is cold. We're on the morning walk. I have those little Indian chapels on with the thing goes around your big toe and all. They're kind of look decorative that I had gotten in India. No socks, no chadar, nothing. None of us. We traveled very light with Prabhupada. So we get back from the morning walk, greet the deities. Prabhupada gives class. We have breakfast and the bell rings. I go into Prabhupada's room. He looks at me. He says, do you have any socks? I know it's going to happen. It's happened before. I said, no, Prabhupada. He said, go into my Elmira. He said, get some socks. I said, Prabhupada, I can't wear your socks. It's not possible. He said, if I say you can wear them, you can wear them. Me, that's all I need to hear from Prabhupada. I take anything, Prabhupada. In the beginning, I would say, no, no, no. But I learned, that's offensive. You're not allowed. Your spiritual master says something. He offers you something. Your only business is, thank you. That's all. Not, no, Prabhupada, it's not my, no. This is what we do. These are the exchanges, even between guru and disciple, what to speak of God brothers. Even your guru, he shows you some mercy, like you grab it. You don't hesitate. I learned that. Grab it. So he said, take my socks. He said, and take some for the others. So I grabbed like a half a dozen pair of saffron socks, Prabhupada's socks. Then he says, do you have shoes? And I said, Prabhupada, I said, because he saw, Prabhupada saw everything. I said, Prabhupada, no. I said, I cannot wear your shoes. He says, well, if I say it's okay, it's okay. He said, you take the shoes for yourself. Me, I'm such a rascal. I just grabbed those shoes. He said, okay. So I left the room. Yeah, I'm just in ecstasy at Prabhupada's socks and his shoes. So I go in, and I, just like Prabhupada joke, I also. So I go in the room. I'm like, look what Prabhupada gave me. And they both look at me. Because, you know, I didn't tell them they have something. They're getting something. They just see Prabhupada gave me socks and shoes. And they're like, you cannot wear those things. I said, Prabhupada said it's okay. I said, and the socks are also for you. Oh, okay. And we're all sitting there putting Prabhupada's socks on our feet, you know, like so happily, Prabhupada said. He said to me, the spiritual master's belongings, he said, while he's here, you can use them. He said, as soon as he goes, he says, they become worshipable. He told me that. So when I told him that, they were all very happy. So now I put the socks on, and I tried to put the shoes on. But, of course, just like those of you who know, what is it, Cinderella? Yeah, they didn't fit me. My feet were too big to fit into Prabhupada's shoes. He had nice, smaller, very pretty shoes, feet. So then, of course, I gave them to the temple president. You know, when he put them at the foot of the Vyasas. I know Prabhupada wore them once, but they didn't fit him nicely. So then he got another pair. Yes. So that was there in Atlanta. Before we get to Atlanta, we're in Mexico City. That was the place where Prabhupada tasted the Raj Bhog. He also did it in Juhu. It's that mud. That was like mud, he would say. But he had a purpose. He had to tighten that service of his disciples, serving their lordships. So we're on the veranda one day. I'm giving Prabhupada, it's outside. Mexico City is like mile high city. So it's very beautiful, the sun's shining. There's a nice breeze, middle of the day. I'm giving Prabhupada his massage. Half of his massage, I'm sitting behind him, cross-legged on the floor. Prabhupada's on a straw mat, sometimes cross-legged, sometimes he'd sit with his legs out. And I'm massaging his head. Sandalwood oil, massaging his back. And I told you, Paramahamsa and I, we were very good friends, very close. And we had a bizarre habit during kirtans. He would be on one side of the Vyasasan, I would be on the other side. And we were with Prabhupada kirtan every day. I attended those. Every day was a festival. I didn't have to like Janmashtami. Every day was a festival when you were with Prabhupada, which means every day was ecstatic and exhausting. But we had a thing we would do, I guess like it was like a pressure relief valve being with Srila Prabhupada. So during the kirtan, and many times he'd be playing mridanga, I'd be playing kartels. He'd be chanting, Prabhupada would be chanting, someone would be chanting. But we'd look into the temple room, and we would try to find the person with the most ecstatic look on their faces during the kirtan, which meant funny-looking faces. Prajumna, when Prajumna is the ecstasy. But we would have a little thing, and he'd go, look at that person, you know. And I'd say, hey, look at this one over here. During the kirtan. And we'd laugh. Anyway, now I'm just setting the background. I'm behind Prabhupada, massaging his back. He said, as hard as you like, you can massage my back. I took that as a challenge one day. He said, you can massage my back as hard as you want. He liked, not Ayurvedic, slapping a bunch of oil on, just, no, little oil, lot of strength. He said, passive wrestling. He said, you do all the work, I get all the benefit. But I didn't say to him, but I'm thinking, no, you're doing all the work, I'm getting all the benefit here, massaging you, touching that body, your golden transcendental body. So who comes in the room on the outside veranda? Paramahamsa comes walking in. You know, he's tall, he's big. Comes in, plops himself down, and he sits up. That's all he had to do. I looked at his face, and I start laughing. I'm massaging Prabhupada. It's a controlled laugh, but I'm laughing. I told you stages of laughter, huh? I'm just laughing because I see that silly face of my godbrother. So I start laughing. What happens to him? He starts laughing. Now, he's in front of Prabhupada. I'm behind, safely behind Prabhupada. He can't see my antics. He starts laughing. So now that he starts laughing, my laugh, it started with the shaking. I'm trying to massage Prabhupada, and I can't even control my laughter, and I'm laughing, I'm massaging Prabhupada. So, of course, Paramahamsa, he also, the two of us are just laughing like crazy in front of Prabhupada for no apparent reason. I'm still massaging Prabhupada. Paramahamsa, he can't speak. He wants to ask Prabhupada something about letters. And I'm massaging. And finally, Prabhupada said, what's so funny? Nothing. That was the end of the laughing. We're both like, and I'm like, you know, say something, big sannyasi man, you know. You're the higher class. You know, I always took the humble position in front of my godbrothers, you know. So I'm waiting for Paramahamsa to say something to Prabhupada. He just asked a question. And Paramahamsa's like, so finally I said, Prabhupada, I said, sometimes I just see Paramahamsa. I said, it makes me laugh. Prabhupada said, laughing is a Vaishnava activity. Yes. And then I'm massaging Prabhupada. Paramahamsa's still sitting. And Prabhupada says, when I was a young, little boy, he said, my father and I, he said he would take me around. He said, and we would go along the Ganga. He said, along the Ganga, there are so many Paramahamsas. Listen. He said, and my father, he was always making gifts, giving gifts to the Paramahamsas. He said, and sometimes we would see them. My father, when he would see these Paramahamsas along the Ganga, he would give them ganja. Now me and Paramahamsa are like, Paramahamsa's eyes are like this big, you know? And we're thinking, never heard this before. And he, Prabhupada says, yes. He said he would give them little ganja. He said, the Paramahamsas, he said, they'll smoke. Prabhupada said, they'll smoke a little ganja to help control their senses. And then Prabhupada starts laughing. He goes, but not you, Paramahamsa. Prabhupada never called these people Paramahamsas, but Prabhupada was setting up a very funny joke on his little boy disciples here, both who had a good appreciation for ganja. I said, Paramahamsa, never was with a woman, but he smoked all the time. That's what he controlled his senses. When you're stoned, you can't even get up to do anything. You know, it's a safer position. No, it's not a safe position. So we're like, what is Prabhupada talking about? But he goes, but not you, Paramahamsa. And then Prabhupada started laughing, and his body shaking, and his belly shaking, and tears, and he's slapping his knee, because he just pulled the very big one on us. He never called them Paramahamsas. It was because he had in front of him Paramahamsa. So he used to say to so-called sadhus, like that. He would say bogus sadhus, whatever he would call them. But never called them Paramahamsa. But his whole thing was he wanted to show us we were laughing at nothing just because we were. But he was laughing because he put both of us out. He hung us up on the thing, you know, and showed us. Not you, Paramahamsa. You're not allowed to do that. No. That was Srila Prabhupada. Couldn't imagine what would come out of his lotus lips, what he would say to us. We were, when he said ganja, we're thinking, what movement is this? You could have millions of disciples if we're all allowed to control our senses by smoking ganja. But no, that wasn't it. He just wanted a joke. Say, you guys, you silly boys, you know. But two things are there. Swimming and laughing are both Vaishnava activities. When he was in Hawaii, he said, yes, he said, everyone should go swimming every day. Temple president, Prabhupada, no. He said, we can hardly get anything done as it is. He said, oh, once a week you go swimming. Even in Hawaii, everywhere you go, is all you see is ocean, beautiful blue ocean. So I asked if anyone had any questions through the last few days, your opportunity. Don't be shy. I know we have shyness. In Vrindavan, I'll give a class. Any questions? No. As soon as you get up, there's a line of people. Everyone has a question. So don't be afraid. If you have a question, now's your time, because I'm not going to answer after class. You've got to do it now. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you were mentioning about a story, the way Prabhupada started writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, translating.
Yes.
Could you share that, please? And okay. If you have time, even the Mangala Arati.
Yes. It all happened in New Dwarka. You know, after New Vrindavan, of course, I became Prabhupada's servant. I didn't have, my home was with Prabhupada, as it is all of us. But New Dwarka, Prabhupada stayed for a few months. So I actually developed friends. Some of them were from the area I came from, the East Coast. I was from Philadelphia. They were Brooklyn, New York boys and their wives. So we became kind of close. So many things happened. One day, come to Mangal Artik. Why don't you come to Mangal Artik? I said, I'm with Prabhupada. If he rings the bell, it's my service. Does he ever ring the bell? 4:30 in the morning? I said, no. Come to Mangal Artik. Parikit leading kirtan, Bhardaraj leading kirtan. You had this fabulous kirtan leaders. Prabhupada's there, so the temple room's packed, everybody in ecstasy. So I went to Mangal Artik. One morning, 2.5 years, one morning I went to Mangal Artik. So I'm there for 10 minutes. Prajumna, Prabhupada wants to see you, and he's really mad. And then, oh, Krishna, I ran out of the temple room, go up into Prabhupada's room. I didn't have to ask any questions. I'm offering obeisances. I've been ringing the bell for hours. Where were you? So finally I sit up. I said, Prabhupada, I went to Mangal Artik this morning. You have no business going to Mangal Artik. I was the only person in the whole society. I was in Maya. Because I went to Mangal Arati. Everyone else, you're in Maya, you don't go to Mangal Arati. But I was the one person in ISKCON who was told I wasn't allowed by my spiritual master to go to Mangal Arati. He said, what if I need something? Yes, Prabhupada. So that was that. I had been with Prabhupada 8 months. And after 8 months, I was struggling.
a lot of travel, no regulation. Prabhupada was completely regulated, which meant we had no regulation. In order to keep someone regulated, you know that with Maharaj, he's regulated means you have none because you've got to service his regulation. So it becomes difficult sometimes. It's the afternoon. Prabhupada had his lunch prasadam. After lunch, who's taking a nap now? I'm the person. No, Prabhupada. Now, any chance you got, you would take a nap. You're traveling here, traveling there, 20 hours. Morning walk is always there. Prabhupada could arrive in Delhi after 20 hours of flying, 2 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, he's ringing the bell. You're getting ready for the morning walk. You had no sleep. He had no sleep, but he was transcendental. You have no sleep, but you're not transcendental. So now, after lunch prasadam, it's not a nap. It's full-fledged sleep. You know, you're like dreaming, everything. You're tamagun, very deep. I hear a bell ring. The bell. Not a bell. The bell. You're always just within ear range of the bell. You're never far from Prabhupada because it's just a handbell. You know, he's not texting you. It's not a buzzer system. It's a bell. So I don't know how long it took. And I can't ask Prabhupada because he exaggerated. So I come in and I'm sound asleep. I get up. I go into his room and I'm offering obeisances and I'm trying to exercise my eyelids so I don't look like I've been so sleepy. But while I'm lying down or doing obeisances, why aren't you chanting your rounds? So that was a whole different story. It's one thing to be taking that, but now he's saying, why aren't you chanting your rounds? And I wasn't chanting my rounds. I wasn't getting my rounds finished. So I sat up. I'm totally in the mode of ignorance. I've just been chastised by Prabhupada. And he just said, why aren't you chanting your rounds? So I just blurt out this stupid. I said, Prabhupada, I said, I'm sitting in my room all day. Sitting there. That was my excuse. That being confined in the room, I was a little, I guess, stir crazy, we would say, sitting there. Though I wasn't getting my rounds finished. Which was a ridiculous thing to say because I have hours and hours to sit there and chant. But I wasn't doing it. But I wasn't doing it because I'm sitting there all day. That was my excuse. Now, depending on who you say that to, there could be a whole number of things they say, like, you're a complete, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Prabhupada looked at me. He said, well, what can we do? Whatever I said, he took it at face value. He didn't say, that's ridiculous. You have so many hours. Why aren't you chanting? You know, he could have said it compassionately. He could have said it in loud. But he said, what can we do? And I'm like, he said, call Karandar. Karandar, number one. There was Prabhupada. Then there was this person, Karandar, ex-Marine, sober. I never saw him smile. Which that's what we thought it meant to be Krishna conscious. Very grave, sober, silent, all the qualities, huh? Not laughing. Laughing is a Vaishnava activity. Prabhupada taught me that, and Karandar didn't teach me that. Call Karandar. Because Prabhupada said one day we were going into his garden in Los Angeles. So we had to go down the flight of stairs on the ground floor, walk out the door, and there was a step, one concrete step. We went down the step that one day. Prabhupada looked at me. He said, you see this step? Yes, bro. He said, Karandar made that step. He said, Karandar can do anything. So that's Karandar, okay? This is Karandar. Something needed to be done, get Karandar. So now we both go into the room, offer obeisances. Prabhupada doing all the talking, because I'm completely... Prabhupada looks at Karandar. He said, so Shruti Kirti, he's not getting his rounds finished. And he says he's not, he repeats what I said with a complete straight face, no sarcasm, no sign of a smile, like, no. He said he says he's not getting him done because he's sitting in his room all day. He says, what can we do? No smile. Kurunder's not smiling. He never smiled. You know, he has that thinker, the thinker. Prabhupada said, I have an idea. He always had an idea. Prabhupada's just so wonderful. And I'm thinking, he's spending all this time with me. Figured, I'm a no one. I'm a nobody. You know, you have Prabhupada's dogs, and then I was under that. I never knew I was in there because I always saw these big advanced devotees, GBCs, sannyasis, legends, Vishnu John Swami.
Yeah.
So many. Dozens and dozens. That's who I was not associating with, but associating near. And I'm thinking, all this is going on for this little person here. So I was feeling happy in a sense, even though I was completely devastated. I have an idea. He said, so I'm translating Srimad Bhagavatam here with the Ura tape recorder every morning, early morning. We're just shaking our heads. Prabhupada had another alternate sitting room that he really didn't use. He had a sitting room, a bedroom, and another room. It was a flat, you know, apartment. He looks at Kurunder, can you get another dictaphone machine? Yes, Prabhupada. He said, okay. He said, you get a dictaphone machine? He said, and you put it on the desk in that sitting room. He said, Shruti Kirti, do you know how to type? Yes. Yes, Prabhupada. He said, so I'm going to begin translating Chaitanya Charitamrita in that room using the new dictaphone machine. He said, and in the morning, you come in, you take that tape. I forgot a very important part. When I said, Prabhupada said, why aren't you chanting? I said, I'm sitting in my room. Prabhupada said, I'm sitting in my room. He said, you sit in your room all day? I sit in my room all day. He said, every morning? He said, we go out on the morning walk together. He's talking like we're associates or something, you know? He said, we go on the morning walk together. We have a nice walk. We chant, then we come back and we sit in the room together. I said, Prabhupada, you're Haridas Thakur. You're like Haridas Thakur. I wasn't. So now we get back to this. So he said, in the morning you come in, you get that tape, you transcribe it. Most wonderful service. You put the headphones on and you hear what Prabhupada just recorded a few hours earlier. He started Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because I wasn't chanting my rounds. Everyone has benefited. Because Shruti Kirti didn't chant his rounds at one point. So Prabhupada said, is that all right? He said, so then you'll have that service? He said, and then you'll get your rounds done? By giving me more service, I agreed. I said, yes, I'll get my rounds done. He said, okay. So the next morning, I go into his alternate sitting room. There's the reel of tape. He had recorded some Chaitanya Charitamrita on there, beginning. I grabbed the tape. I have service. So I take it into my room. They've already given me a little typewriter. So then we go out on the morning walk. And what am I thinking? I have all this service to do. I have to get my rounds finished. So the whole morning walk, and Prabhupada doesn't speak on the morning walk. Prabhupada's chanting. He's showing me by example. Imagine me. He's chanting my hands and my bead back. Together we're chanting our rounds. The walk was a long time between the walk and the car ride. I had my rounds finished. Just like that. It was so easy. He empowered me to chant my rounds again. I'm thinking I have to get my rounds done. I go back and I'm so happy. I'm happy because he showed me how much he cares for each individual soul. He didn't make a distinction. We hear that all the time. Krishna is impartial. That's what it means. If you show some attraction, he's going to take care of you. He's going to help you. Even if you're just a servant who washes his lota, doesn't make a difference. Could be GBC or XYZ. It was all the same. You're all the same. I told you how he would walk into the kitchen in New Dwarka. He walked in one day with the GBC, Jayatirtha. There were pots in the sink, big industrial sinks you all have. The dirty pots in the sink. Prabhupada looked. He said, why are these pots dirty? Jayatirtha said, after prasadam, the devotee's there, he's going to get them done. He said, you do them. What is it, this person, that person? You're all the same. You're GBC. He didn't care you're GBC. You're my disciple. Why you clean the pots? He had Jayatirtha in tears. But Prabhupada, as soon as you thought you were something special, like me with the Chamara fan, you're a joke. You're nobody. Punar Sika Musha. What is Punar Mushika Baba? I used to think he was talking about people, outsiders, when he would say that story so many times. You all know the story, yeah? Again, you become a mouse. I thought he was talking about, politicians. He was talking about us as disciples. Don't think you're a tiger. You're always a mouse with a tiger's outfit on by the mercy of your spiritual master. And he showed us that again and again and again. Once in New York, this is in the 90s, 26 Second Avenue, Saturday Rath Yatra, Sunday Prabhupada Katha. The day it was Father's Day, happened to be Father's Day, something they celebrate there, Mother's Day, Father's Day, anything to make money with cards in U.S., cards, flowers, chocolates, anything that make you spend money, they'll make a day for it. They have your pet day now, Anyway, we won't go into those, so many days to celebrate. So I had my 10, 15 minutes to speak. And I became that day very emotional. Because I realized Prabhupada was my father in every way. Because I didn't have a father. I was never raised by a male. He was the first person. How fortunate I was. He was my father in every way. So I was a very emotional feeling. And then somebody asked a question. It was a disciple of one of my sannyasi godbrothers, big famous sannyasi godbrother, was Prabhupada's secretary, GBC, all those things. So again, like we do, he asked a loaded question. He said, did Prabhupada treat any of his disciples special? Because he knew, or he thought he knew, his guru was special by Prabhupada. No one had ever asked me that question. Did Prabhupada treat any of his disciples special? I said, yes. I said, all of them. All of us. You all have a personal relationship through your spiritual master with Srila Prabhupada. He'll treat us all special. You're only here because he's invited you here. He maintains your existence here. We're all little mice in so many different forms, completely dependent on the mercy of our spiritual master, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And if we remember that, the more you can remember that, the safer you'll be in Krishna consciousness. I know it's 9:30 again. Do we have a few minutes? Yes. Anyone have a question? I'm going to tell you my favorite story. Because Prabhupada, of course, he's always blessing, but he gave me a very special blessing. No one else has ever received this blessing from Prabhupada. I guarantee no one has gotten such a blessing. Also at Bhaktivedanta Manor, floor like this, varathane, very smooth, but wooden floor, Bhaktivedanta Manor, long, long planks of wood, beautiful. So I would massage Prabhupada in front of the windows. The sun would come in through the windows. Prabhupada's on the straw mat, I'm behind him, we both have our gumchas on, two bottles, one sandalwood, one mustard oil. So I do his head, sandalwood oil, massaging his back as hard as I can. And it's never hard enough. I massaged him as hard as I could. And he sat there like I was just playing on his back. Couldn't move him. He didn't weigh very much. He was not very tall and was thin. But I couldn't move him. And he just sat there like nothing was happening. And that was Prabhupada. As hard as I could, waiting for him to say, that's hard enough. Didn't happen. So now I move from beside him to next to him to start massaging his arms, his chest, rub his belly. And I knocked a bottle of mustard oil over. That was a big mistake. He would say, put the cap on. We talk about details. That's how detailed you should be. You don't even leave the cap off the bottle of mustard oil during the course of massage, which means every time you're supposed to take it off, put teaspoon, tablespoon oil, put the cap back on the bottle, all with your one hand filled with oil, the other one's oily. I knocked it over. Even Prabhupada, who was instant reflexes, didn't have time to pick it up. He tried, but it didn't happen. And it fell. Of course, oil's dripping out. Finally, we got it up. And he says, you fool. You'll be intelligent when you're 80. And I'm devastated. No, it wasn't funny. I was completely crushed. Yelled. And then he says, go get a katori. My kitchen was a closet right outside his room, literally 3 feet wide, 1 meter by 2 meters. That was my kitchen at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Because he didn't like his disciple brahmacharis going into the kitchen. Yeah. Stay out of the kitchen, very hot place. It was always the Matajis were in the kitchen. So he was trying to protect his servants. So that was, I ran in there, I got a katori, ran back into the room. I don't even know if I paid obeisances. Might have been the one and only time. I was in such shock. And as all I feel, imagined or not, is Prabhupada so upset. And then he gets the katori, he says, do like I'm doing. Such wonderful words he would say. And he sticks his hand in that mustard oil and starts scraping it into the cup. So the two of us now are putting our hands and doing what he's doing, scraping. And miraculously, it was good. There was a little shine there, but all the mustard oil is now in the katori, the cup. And then he looks at me. He said, massage me with that oil. And that was, we call, adding insult to injury. I'm already devastated. Now he tells me to massage him with the oil that was lying on the floor. How could a disciple do such a thing? So I'm, poured in, and you can feel little dusty things and all, and I'm massaging Prabhupada with that oil. He doesn't say another word to me, doesn't look at me. I don't even think he opened his eyes. And I'm like, it's just like the whole monsoon season came into the room at once. It's so dark and dense. But I'm thinking, and I never said to Prabhupada while I was with him 2.5 years, whenever he chastised me, I never said I'm sorry. I was such a dense person. I could never just say a simple thing, I'm sorry. I will never do that again. It was a big mistake, Prabhupada. I never said it. But I'm thinking, what can I do? That's my phone. So, and whenever I asked Prabhupada a question, I had to think on it for about a half an hour, because you had to be very careful what you said to him. So I'm massaging him, head down. He's got his little gold chain hanging around. It was so beautiful. Everything he did was just beautiful. But I'm thinking, what can I say? And as all I hear is him saying, "You fool, be intelligent when you're 80. So now the massage is, I'm at his feet. You start at the head, you end at the lotus feet. It's pink bottom, soft lotus feet. And I'm rubbing, and I'm out of time to make amends. So finally I'm rubbing. And I know what I'm going to say. But saying it wasn't easy, because I don't know how he's going to react. So I'm massaging his feet, and I said, "Prabhupada." Mm-hmm. I said, "Thank you for the blessing." I said, "I thought it would take a lot longer for me to become intelligent." And Prabhupada looked at me and started laughing and laughing and laughing, and tears are coming out. And it started the whole process. We went right to him slapping his knee. He said, "Very good." He said, "When I was young," he said, "when friends, we were together, anyone did something foolish, we would say, 'You fool, you'll be intelligent when you're 80. He said, "And I've used it on you." I'll be 71 next month. When he said it, I was 22. At that time, I had what? 48 years to go. So now I only have 9 short years. So be very careful what you put into this stomach here. I have to live at least 9 years. Because I'm telling you, when I turn 80, something wonderful is going to happen. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you all very much. We're here the rest of the day. We'll be leaving tomorrow morning after breakfast. Both my wife and I were very grateful for all of you, for Prabhu, for inviting me in front of Radha Shama Sundar during Mangal Arti. Many days ago, he gave us 24-hour notice. We came, and there was nothing. I would have traveled anywhere to see Maharaj. So, and all of you, you just do as he asks, your lives will be successful. You don't have any doubts. No, there should be no doubts. Very wonderful servant of Srila Prabhupada, who was able to manifest New Vrindavan here, Prabhupada's desire, 7 temples. But I do have a suggestion for him. Krishna Balaram Mandir also should manifest here. So then when I come here, I can also be at Krishna Balaram Mandir. So that's my little personal request that I'm going to tell Maharaj, that we have the 7, but now you Prabhupada's temple. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Sutta Kirti Prabhu, for taking us into such a wonderful journey, Srila Prabhupada's nectarian pastimes. All of us got transported 50 years ago, and we were as if sitting with you in the ringside seat, seeing those pastimes, and each day the intensity and the ecstasy of the pastimes was increasing. So we are very grateful to you and Vishakha Mataji for coming all the way from Sridham Vrindavan to spend some time with us and share these nectarian pastimes. I think your service of sharing Srila Prabhupada's pastimes along with the lessons which he shared are so important for ISKCON leaders and ISKCON devotees today. As time progresses, there is a tendency that we start becoming forgetful about some of the greatest personalities, and therefore I think your service is very important, that you have actually absorbed the essence of Srila Prabhupada's character, personality, and his dealings so closely. And it's very, very inspiring to hear from you, as all the devotees here have experienced. Also, I would like to express gratitude to Sanak Sanatan Prabhu from ISKCON Vrindavan, who has come with his daughter Bhagavati. He's been He spent almost more than 4 decades in ISKCON, serving in various capacities, and currently takes care of the Goshala and the farm at Krishna Balaram Temple. So let us welcome Sanak Sanatan Prabhu also by loudly chanting Haribo.
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 So we hope that the venue for your 80th birthday is already decided. There will be like a week-long Prabhupada Katha,
yes,
at ISKCON Govardhan Eco Village. In the presence of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj.
Yes, Jai.
Srila Prabhupada, the key.
And by your prayers, we would like to come here regularly to Vrindavan here, because Vrindavan is, to come here is just so wonderful atmosphere here. So we're hoping we can come at least a few times, 2-3 times a year, spend a few days, if you allow us. Yeah. One other thing. Yudhisthira Prabhu, my godbrother, he asked me, I don't know if he asked me, Prabhupada gave me special instruction. He gave me one instruction. It was very special. And it was at that time when he started Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I was with him in that room where it began. And he told me I should be expert and give classes on Chaitanya Charitamrita. And of course, I can't say I sit in front of me with the book, but all of these pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, it's all part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I understand any ability I have to say anything is a blessing that's there and can also be taken away as quickly as they're given. So I always pray to somehow or other be able to glorify Srila Prabhupada with this lifetime. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.